Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a Virgin Media Originals podcast series.
Welcome to the last in the current series of Hooked On Virgin Media Dublin International Film Festival, with thanks to Virgin Media Ireland. I'm Fionnuala Jay, and over the course of the last few weeks, we have been delving into this year's Festival of Films and talking to the likes of Festival Director Gráinne Humphreys, to some of the biggest stars in attendance virtually, such as Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci, to name just a couple. You can listen back now to some of our previous episodes for all of our big interviews. In this week's podcast, we'll be hearing from Lenny Abrahamson about his career to date and being on the judging panel for this year's Virgin Media Discovers Short Film Competition in association with Screen Ireland. The winners were revealed on Box Office with Lisa Cannon, but if you missed who the winners are, we'll be playing out that moment on the podcast. But first, here's a roundup of some of the main events from this year's Virgin Media Dublin International Film Festival with John Kelly.
The 2021 Virgin Media Dublin International Film Festival may have been a bit closer to home than previous years, but as always, the star power and movie magic remained out of this world. Supernova opened the festival. Harry McQueen's tale of a love being undone by dementia will have you reaching for the tissues. Keep them within arm's reach, though. There were tears of laughter as gang members and gentrifiers threatened to close a close-knit Dublin salon. Written and directed by Rachel Carey, Deadly Cuts is full of homegrown talent. And Festival Director Gráinne Humphreys was joined in a series of virtual conversations by Steve McQueen and Colin Farrell. The Castleknock man may have been half a world away, but as he reflected on some of his favourite festival memories of the past 20 years, it was a timely reminder for us to set an alarm for the Virgin Media Dublin International Film Festival 2022.
John Kelly there with a festival roundup for you. Joining me now to go through her favourite films from this year's Virgin Media Dublin International Film Festival is Tara Brady, film critic with the Irish Times. Tara, let's start with preparations to be together for an unknown period of time. A wieldy title, but it got me in the chest. What is this about?
Well, you ask a very good question. This to me was the real find of the festival, because obviously there are big hitters at DIFF, like Minari, which has already won Golden Globes, and Supernova, which has all this kind of fuss about it. But this was the big find. This was the one I watched and went, wow, you know, I haven't heard anything about this. It was the Hungarian entry to the Academy Award. It made the long list. So I don't believe it has made the short list. And it's about a Hungarian neurosurgeon who meets the man of her dreams at a medical conference. And she decides that she's going to give up her very, you know, striving, lucrative career and her perfect life in New York and return, like, and go after this man. So she goes back to her native Hungary, and she goes back to Budapest. And everybody is like, what are you doing here? You've given up so much to come back here. What are you thinking? And it gets worse. She catches up with this man, this love of her life that she's spontaneously fallen in love with, is prepared to give up everything. And he doesn't remember meeting her. And I mean, at all. He has no recollection of her at all. He blanks her in the street. He's like, who are you? And so she becomes more than a little bit obsessed with him, and more than a little bit stalkery, and also she's quite perplexed. And in the meantime, there's all these conversations about memory and the brain, because of course she's the neurosurgeon, so that all gets kind of interwoven into the fabric of the rather tricksy narrative. It's definitely one of my favorite kinds of movie, I think, is what you'd call a lo-fi sci-fi, which is where you don't have money for a lot of bells and whistles. So you have to really think about, you know, what, think about your concept and have a really good concept. And I think this is one of those like really great lo-fi sci-fis. It's up there with something like Primer or The Farthest or those kind of American indie films. I've certainly not seen a film like it come out of Hungary before. There's some comparisons, I suppose, to be made with the much bigger budgeted and much starrier Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. But it's a little more closer to a straight drama than that. Certainly not as glossy and Hollywoodized. It's anchored by a really, really terrific performance from an actress called Natasha Stork. I think that to me is one of the great the other one being, I think, Joanna Scanlon in Afterlove. One of the really, really great female performances that I saw through the festival, of which there were quite a few, but it's a really exceptional performance. A lot of it's like very internal and very kind of small movements, and one of those performances where you're seeing a lot of her face all the time, and there's a lot going on, which obviously there would be if you've given up everything for a man and you travel across the world to see him, and he decides he doesn't remember you. A really intriguing and very, very pleasing drama, I think.
I have to agree. As I said, it really brought me on a journey, and it's not really the type of film that I would usually seek out myself, but I was hooked, pardon the pun of this podcast, but I couldn't take my eyes off her, as you said, and watching this unfold, it was so subtle, but as you said, you can't take your eyes off it.
Couldn't you imagine her in a silent film? I thought, you know, very often when you're watching her, because it's so nuanced, and you're really not quite sure what you're thinking, and you're really not quite sure if she's had some kind of breakdown and this is manifestation of terrible mental illness, or some kind of neurological breakdown, which of course would be in keeping with her job and what's going on, you're kind of half waiting for she's died or it's all a dream or something like that, and you know, or some kind of twist that will wrap it all up neatly, but that's not the twist that comes, it's crucial to say.
On to Gunda then. This is a documentary that a lot of people are talking about. Seems to be a bit divisive. What do you think of this, and why should people seek it out if they want to?
Well, I don't understand why Gunda's so divisive. I just thought it was tremendous. I'm kind of surprised. I've been surprised by when I met people that are like, no, I didn't really get it. Because to me, it's such a beautifully streamlined piece of cinema. You know, so it you have to imagine it as, it's like a terrific nature documentary, and it has extraordinary footage in that capacity, and has extraordinary like close relationship with the animals. It's just that those animals happen to be, you know, farmyard animals. So, you know, we have a sow and her piglets. We have this very plucky one-legged chicken who races around the place and is as pleasing to watch as, you know, a great car chase scene in, say, French Connection or something like that. It's such a brilliant piece of movement, watching them hop around the screen. And then we have two cows. So we've got this kind of classic barnyard ensemble, though mostly it's focused on the big. So inevitably there's been a lot of reviews have been like, it's the real life babe, or it's the real life Charlotte's Web. And in fact, it's not really like that, because, you know, most nature documentaries, you know, even the very good ones, tend to anthropomorphize the animals. You know, I mean, even something like, if you think about a big hit nature documentary like March of the Penguins, it's sort of like you have Morgan Freeman's voiceover, and it really kind of it sort of keeps drawing comparisons with, you know, human mummies and daddies as they march, and that's kind of the hook. And this doesn't do that. This actually, you know, wants you to see things entirely from the animal's perspective. So, and I don't want to be too spoilery, not you can really kind of spoil a movie that's from a pig's perspective, but there, you know, there's a scene where a strange vehicle comes, and to me it felt like you're so in the mind of the mother pig. It, to me, it felt like an alien invasion. It felt like it felt like something from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And it doesn't make the animals cutesy in any way at all. It doesn't concede to them. It's perfectly happy to have the pigs in muck and pigs being the way pigs are. And in doing that, it actually it gives the animals an incredible dignity. And no surprise, it's executive produced by Joaquin Phoenix, who is of course a vegan and has done a great deal of campaigning on the matter. And in fact, I've actually met people who have become vegan on the back of his very extraordinary Oscar speech, if you remember, where he just laid it on the line and went, if eating meat or eating dairy, never mind meat, means you're supporting children been taken away from their mothers. And it was a very, very powerful speech, and it certainly worked. But this is just a marvelous film. It's a kind of a strange concoction because it's an American Norwegian production, and it's directed by a Russian filmmaker called Viktor Kazakovsky. But it has this kind of almost like a fairy tale feel. It could be a farm anywhere. It could be a storybook farm, and that makes the reality that you're faced with while you're watching the film all that more powerful, that it has this kind of picture book quality about it. So to me, it was absolutely the must see. I think it's the film of the festival.
By complete contrast, then we have Dinner in America, which is this kind of dark coming of age comedy, I suppose. What can you tell people about it that aren't familiar?
It's a really unusual prospect. The chap who wrote and directed it, Adam Raymeyer is his name, is a veteran, but he's known more for documentaries, and they tend to be sort of making of documentaries. He's the main guy who's done most of Mel Brooks' live shows, for example. So this is a first for him, and it's a really lovely, punky, indie American comedy. Like, we tend to think about that sort of genre of films as like Little Miss Sunshine, where it's dramedy, as the Americans call it, somewhere between drama and comedy, whereas this is more a kind of mostly a fairly raucous comedy. It's set in the 90s, and it has this very, very surly young man named Simon, who forms a very unlikely romantic bond with a failed veterinarian store clerk named Patty. It's quite a misanthropic comedy at first, and as you know, with misanthropic comedies, if you think about any recent one from in the last decade, or think about something like Bad Santa, they only work, they're only as good as they are misanthropic. Like, they have to kind of hold on to their mean spirit for and get some mileage out of it. And I think this does that very well. It's quite slow burning at first, so you have to stick with it. But once you've actually, once you're embedded with those characters, because particularly Simon seems like he's very, very prickly for the opening third, and he's very hard to get on board with. But once you're in with them, like, you're chums for life. You're really, really in tight with them. And I because they're just such well drawn characters, and so really, really well performed as well Kyle Gallum, who's also from, he's mostly from TV, from Smallville and Veronica Mars and shows like this. I thought this was really fun. As the title goes and hints at, part of the fabric of the film are these dinner set pieces that really prove Tolstoy's maxim about unhappy families. And it has really, really great fun with those family scenarios, and with like some of the most awful dinner conversations that you've ever heard in your life. And I'm quite happy to listen to awful dinner conversations. I don't know about you.
Father is another movie that is making waves coming out of Serbia. What can you tell us about that?
Father is one of these like proper grown-up, robust drama films, the kind that you don't really see out of Hollywood anymore, and that we haven't really seen out of Hollywood for a very long time, but that are even kind of falling away in terms of larger American cinema. It has the most dramatic opening, I think, of any film you're going to see this year. I know it's early in the year, but it's hard to top. this woman, this very desperate woman, turns up. She's with her children. She's begging her husband's former employer to give them the wages that he's owed, because they need food, because they need essentials. And when nobody complies, she pours petrol over herself and sets herself on fire. And that's just the opening gambit. The real meat of the film is the father of the two children that we see and the husband that we see in the opening scene tries to get his two children back. And social services won't hand them over. They say they're not safe. And there are hints that there's some kind of corruption going on, that there's some kind of scheme that the social services are running to get the foster money. So he takes off on foot some 300 kilometers to go to Belgrade in order to plead with the authorities to get his children back. And that section of the movie is so tactile. I mean, you feel every blister and you really feel for this guy and rather extraordinarily. And it's very, very different and not at all violent in the way that the opening scene is. But there's a final sequence in the film that is every bit as powerful and as wrenching as that opening scene. So really, really a terrific piece of cinema from a director called Goran Bogdan. That's the actor's name. A really brilliant performance from him and a really a brilliant piece of writing from a director called Serban Golubovic. Pardon me, my Yugoslavian is not as good as it should be.
Finally then, Tara, Apples is going to hit close to home for, I was going to say some people, but pretty much everyone, given that it's set during a worldwide pandemic. Yeah. What did you think of it?
Well, I love these kind of films. I don't know how, are you big into the Greek weird wave, as they call it? You know, the Yorgan Lanthimos and The Favourite and all that sort of thing. Or is
absolutely. Like, sign me up. Yeah, me up.
Yeah. So this is, Yorgos Lanthimos, if you remember his film from about more than a decade ago now, Dogtooth, that really put him on the map. This is the directorial debut from Christos Nico, who was his assistant director on this film. And Dogtooth is still my favorite Lanthimos picture. And you can certainly see there, it certainly fits in with Lanthimos's films and, you know, with a lot of those films that have hit over here in recent years, like Suntan and Shvalio and those kind of films that have all kind of won awards in festivals, if not won Oscars as The Favourite did. One of the great things I think about The Great Weird Wave is that, in some ways, and this was very explicit with Lanthimos's killing of a sacred deer, if you remember, we would call it Farrell and Barry Keoghan. But it takes conceit like tropes from Greek mythology, and then it just puts them on top of a modern film and asks you to accept it at face value. And this is very much that kind of film. And this has the conceit of a worldwide pandemic, which causes sudden and absolute memory loss. And so you've like, you know, society's just kind of falling to bits because out of nowhere you can suddenly forget everything. So it has, you know, something in common with that idea of the rivers of Lethe, you know, in mythology, that you can you drink from and you forget everything. So the hero of the film falls down to this, and for a couple of days he's told that, like, let's wait, we'll wait for your family to come and claim you. But he's one of those people that no family comes for him, and we never quite know why that is. So he has to go through this sort of bureaucracy, if you like. So, you know, so they has to go to the disturbed memory department and wait for his family to come. And then he has to go into the re-identity program and things like that. So it has this brilliant kind of bureaucracy that it builds around this imagined condition that's very, very intriguing and very appealing. So I got on very well with this. And certainly if you're a fan of The Favourite or other films from the Greek weird wave, you'll love this one.
Tara Brady from the Irish Times, thank you so much for a look at some of the standout films from this year's festival.
Thank you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now on the podcast, we're going to hear from Lenny Abrahamson when he was on Box Office with Lisa Cannon to reveal the winners of this year's Virgin Media Discover's short film competition in association with Screen Ireland.
One of the judges on this year's panel is none other than Lenny Abrahamson, and he's joining us now. How are you keeping, Lenny?
I'm great, Lisa. Thanks. Very nice to be here.
Ah, it's lovely to have you on Box Office. Always a pleasure. Now, let's talk about the standard of entries this year. What did you think?
I thought it was amazing. I mean, I got to see, I think, 10 of the entries that had been shortlisted for the judges. And I was massively impressed by the range of ideas, by how well written they were, by the sort of polish of the presentation. And I know that it was already pretty hard to reduce it down from the 700 to the 10s. And there were lots of other very strong submissions. So it shows the health of the creative community out there. And I think also that excellence of the award. Two films will be awarded 30,000 each, which is a really substantial amount to make a 10-minute short. So
absolutely,
it's a massive opportunity for whoever wins. And I think the creative community out there recognized it.
Absolutely. Lenny, we're going to come back to the Virgin Media Discover's short film competition in just a second. That's in association with Screen Ireland. But we want to thank you profusely for taking time out of your busy schedule. But of course, you are in pre-production with Conversations with Friends at the moment. Now, you're filming really, really soon. So how is it going?
It's going pretty well. We're sort of, you know, it's an odd time to be gathering groups of people together and,
sure,
and trying to sort of work on material. But I think we have that sorted. Others have done it before us and there are protocols, etc. But we're actually due to start in about 6 weeks, start filming, but we are into pre-production next week, having had a hiatus. And yeah, it's all great. We have an amazing cast led by this wonderful young Irish actress called Alison Oliver, who's just fresh out of the Lear. And then three other brilliant actors, Sasha Lane, Joe Alwyn and Jemima Kirk, sort of that's the central quartet. So we're all very much very excited to get stuck in and be working again.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see it. And of course, we had Mark O'Halloran on Box Office last week and he's actually working on some of the scripts, isn't that right? For Conversations with Friends. So what can people expect now from Sally Rooney's adaptation?
Well, again, it's the same. It's a lot of the same kind of core team that were involved in Normal People. So Alice Birch is adapting with Mark and some other great writers. And then we've it's a similar format. So it's 12 half hour episodes.
Okay.
I think the way I think of it is like a kind of, it's sort of a cousin of Normal People. It's not a sequel and it's not a sister or a brother, but there's a similarity between them. So it's about four people and their interrelationships, and there's lots of the sort of, I think, the intimacy and the kind of insight that Sally brings to her writing. It's very excited. I think it'll be something that audiences will potentially get a lot out of.
Absolutely. The appetite's going to be huge, but we have to talk about Normal People. Did you expect it to be such a success?
No, I don't think any of us did. I mean, we knew that Paul and Daisy were fantastic and the scripts were amazing and the book on which it's based was obviously quite a phenomenon, but it still didn't prepare us for the reaction that we had. And I think we were all, I mean, it was in lockdown, so it was quite a weird experience when the world seemed to be talking about it and we were all experiencing this through these kinds of interfaces. But it was amazing and outdid anything we could have predicted.
I betcha. And of course, you've had such success, Lenny. I mean, really and truly, Between Normal People, the success in the US, and then, of course, not forgetting Room in 2015. I mean, how has these kind of, I suppose, nominations, like Oscar nominations and Globe nominations, kind of affected your career?
It's a cumulative thing. And, you know, I think with Room, there was a big sort of bump in access to funding and people's interests in the sort of projects that myself and Ed and everybody at Element were developing. But then with Normal People, that sort of seemed to be accelerated again. And there's just, it's a lovely position to be in. It's quite sort of daunting because you think everybody will be looking to see what you do next. And, you know, their expectations are high. But I'd rather that than the alternative. So it's been great, really.
Fantastic. Now, Lenny, we've loads of young filmmakers watching Box Office tonight. What advice would you give them to break into the industry?
I think if you want to be a writer or a director or a writer-director, that's what I sort of know best. I think the thing to do is to just start doing it. And the technology now is so kind of available and it's there in your hand if you own a phone, that there's no barrier to sort of taking ideas, planning what you want to do with them, shooting them, cutting them, sharing them on YouTube or whatever platform you use. And actually good work and good ideas and a kind of ambition really does shine through. And I think the industry is always fascinated by new voices. So there's no real barrier if you're prepared to sort of test yourself, work as hard as you can, make pieces and share them.
Some great advice there, Lenny. Thanks very much. Now, let's return to the Virgin Media Discovers Short Film Competition in association with Screen Ireland. As I mentioned earlier, there were over 700 submissions. 10 projects were selected to go into development. And we are very excited to now announce the winners on Box Office. Lenny, would you do us the honour and reveal who the winners are, please?
With great pleasure. So the first of our two winners is a film called Punchline, written by Ali O'Rourke and Becky Cheadle, and to be directed by Becky Cheadle, and Water Under the Bridge, written and directed by Rehan Ali.
Woo-hoo! Congratulations, guys. Are you delighted?
I am over the moon. Incredibly delighted.
Lenny, now, of course, you were a judge for this year's Virgin Media Discover Short Film Competition in association with Screen Ireland. Like, why did you choose Ali and Rehan as your winners?
Well, first thing to say is it was very difficult because all of the projects were at the stage where we got to look at them were really fascinating and the filmmakers were all pretty compelling in their pitches. But I think all the judges felt very strongly that in both these cases, the vision was really clear. The ideas were very original. The situations that were being discussed and the worlds that were being kind of represented were both worlds which are kind of underrepresented. And as the theme of this competition was about diversity, we really wanted to make sure that that came through in the films that we chose. But they're just really good and really interesting. And I think like all the judges felt, you know, we really want to see these two films. And that's about as, you know, that sort of gut response to something is the strongest indication that it should be supported.
Absolutely, Lenny. Now, Ali, over to you. Ali O'Rourke, congratulations. Your short film submission was Punchline. Now, it's an incredible prize to win €30,000 with the support of Screen Ireland to produce a short film, which, of course, will be broadcast here on Virgin Media Television next autumn. Now, both of your films at the root showcase diversity. But Ali, do you mind telling us about the plot to Punchline?
Yeah, Punchline, it's a movie that tells the story of a transgender comedian on the night of a transphobic assault. We follow her as she processes the emotional fallout of that attack and attempts to convert her victimhood into an act of defiance. As our lead character performs, we just see a series of flashbacks that tell the visual story of those events and show how they contrast with the humor-driven narrative that she's trying to tell her audience.
Okay, Ali, thank you so much. Wishing you well with that. And Rehan, congrats to you as well. Tell us what your film, Water Under the Bridge, is all about.
So Water Under the Bridge encapsulates a lot of my own personal experiences as someone who spent their entire childhood in the system of direct provision. So in this film, with the character Bilal, a teenager who's just arrived in Ireland with his father and maiden sister, like I did 16 years ago, he escapes the confining walls of direct provision to explore the town he must now refer to as new home. But this new home isn't exactly what it seems. It provides a lot of new challenges for Bilal, the greatest one perhaps being his own inability to acknowledge who he is and to accept who he is. By the end of the film, we realize that there's a great deal of things that Bilal is struggling to accept. I think it's an incredibly important story because it shines a light on a conversation that we really need to have. So I'm so grateful for this opportunity.
Sounds like it'll be a very powerful film, Rianne. Now, once again, this year's winners of the Virgin Media Discovers Short Film Competition in association with Screen Ireland are Punchline, written by Ali O'Rourke and Becky Cheetle, and Water Under the Bridge, written by Rehan Ali.
Looking forward to seeing Punchline and Water Under the Bridge when they air in the autumn on Virgin Media Television. Well, that's a wrap for this season of Hooked On, Virgin Media Dublin International Film Festival. We've had some great guests over the course of the festival, which you can go back and listen to now. The podcast series was produced by Gordon Hayden. I'm Fionnuala J. Hopefully it won't be much longer until we're all back in the cinema again. Until next time, goodbye.
This is a Virgin Media Originals podcast series.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.